to our hearts. Reverend Cornejo is here with us, and we're honored to have him here. I believe you're from California, am I correct? In fact, you went to Stockton, didn't you? So he's an alumni of my school as well, so I know he's going to bring the Word of God. I want you to stand on your feet and grab your Bibles, and let's give Brother Jesse Cornejo and his wife a hand and thank him for being in the house of God.
Jesus is in the building. Anytime you look in the story in the Word of God, when Jesus walked in the synagogue or in the middle of the city or wherever it was, out on a boat, I mean, it didn't really matter. There were miracles happening all around. I want you to notice that. When Jesus is somewhere, anywhere, which we've ushered in the presence of God, and he's here right now, amen, that means that anything can happen. I'll say it one more time. That means that anything is possible. Absolutely anything can happen. And there's a sweet presence of God here right now. My wife and I have prayed for this service and just really felt this is going to be a great, mighty move of God here today. And I do not say that lightly. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. Amen. Would you just go ahead and stand with me? And we're going to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 18 and verse 2. Your pastor was talking about a certain particular story in the Bible where the water was being stirred, and when the water's being stirred, somebody jumps into the water, and whoever jumps in, they end up being healed, right? And there's actually a portion of that story where Jesus walked up to a man that was sitting or laying at the side of the pool, and he'd been there for a long time, and as he'd been there for a long time, nothing was really going on, but I remember reading the story, and Jesus said, "Will thou be made whole?" It really got me thinking, because Jesus didn't ask him, "Do you believe I can do it? Do you think that I'm good enough to? Do you think you're good enough to do it?" No, but he said, "But will you be made whole?" In other words, when I heal you, are you willing to continue to walk in that victory? That's going to be the question. There's no doubt that delivering power is here right now, that God's going to deliver you from your situation. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. But I want to ask you that question. Will you be made whole? When this is all over, when this Sunday service is over and this altar is filled and you're crying with tears in your eyes and surrendering to God, are you willing to walk out and leave that weight here at this altar? Are you willing to walk out and to say, "God, I'm going to live in victory"? And Jesus said this to the man. He said, "All right." And he went ahead and he said, "Go ahead." He said, "Rise, take up your bed." And then he said, "Walk." And I really got to thinking about the story. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because walking was the miracle. You would think that the man wasn't able to walk. He was lame. You would think that Jesus would have said, "Get up and walk." Right? But he said, "Rise," in a specific order, "take up your bed and walk." Walking was finally the last thing, and that was the miracle. The rise was the first thing, and that's what he had to do on his own. You've got to do something on your own to show God, "Hey, I'm taking the first step. I need you to meet me halfway, God, because I'm desperate for something to happen." Is that all right? Tonight, or this morning, I'm going to talk to you. It's so dark outside. I think it's nighttime. To me, it is. It's gloomy. It's not Southern California. Amen. And I want to just talk to you about desperate faith. Desperate faith. Luke chapter 18, if you open your Bible, the next portion of what Jesus said after he told him to rise was, "Take up your bed." And when he said to take up your bed, and this is not really part of my message, but I just feel to say this, if that's all right. But when he told the man, "Take up your bed," to me that resembled that he told the man, "You need to go ahead and take up the thing that has held you, the thing that you go back to." And so, in other words, in taking up his bed, he showed Jesus, when you heal me, I'm not healed yet, but when you heal me, I'm not going back to that bed in which I laid in every single day. I'm not going back to that filth. I'm not going back to that sickness. I'm not going back to that way. But I'm going to walk out of this thing changed, and I'm going to show others in this world that I'm not, that God has changed me, and that I'm not going back to what I came from. There's victory in this place, but even more powerful than that, there is the ability to walk and to live in consistent and constant victory today. If you're desperate enough for it, then God is willing to do it. Luke chapter 18 and verse 2. And I want to honor your pastor and your pastor's family for the privilege to be here. They don't know us all that much. And so I really appreciate you and thank you just for the privilege to be here. Thank you so much. Whenever someone invites someone to come preach and, you know, they don't know too much about them, it's definitely, it's an honor, reverence. I have reverence for it because these are the people that the Lord has allowed him. Every one of you is the people that the Lord has allowed him and his family to go ahead and pastor. Amen. He's responsible for you, for your soul in the end. And so I'm grateful to be here. Thank you. I can tell that you are worshipers because of your pastor. Amen. It goes from the top down. And so would you give them a round of applause, your pastor and pastor's wife? Amen. And I'd also would like to, I said this wrong one time. I'd like to honor my wife, but I said this wrong one time. And I said, I'd like to honor my wife because she gets to travel with me. And so I vowed to never say it wrong again. And so I'll say it right. I want to honor my wife because I get to travel with her. Amen. And she makes it all. Go ahead. Give her a round of applause. That's all right. She makes it a whole lot easier. And just the colors are a whole lot brighter all around me. You know what I mean? I've only been married for a year and a half, so I'm still honeymooning, if that's all right. All right. Amen. Amen. And we have a baby on the way. She's 6 months pregnant now. And it's a young boy. It's going to be a boy. And so I'm telling everybody, the legacy lives on. Amen. In Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 2, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. We're talking about an unjust judge, an individual who has no reverence of God and no reverence of man whatsoever. Just a wicked individual. And this woman comes and continues knocking on the door, if you will, every day. Would you avenge me or would you answer my prayer? And the Bible says, basically in layman's terms, I'm going to put it in my terms for you, that the judge said, well, basically just because she keeps on bugging, I'm going to answer. Does that sound plain enough? All right. And then it says in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? How many here are the elect of God today, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Let's put your Bibles to one side and ask the Lord just to be in this place and to fix our hearts the right way. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Would you lift your voice with me today, church? We love you. We thank you for the privilege to be in this house right now, God. I pray that you would touch our heart, our mind, our spirit, God, to do exactly what you desire, God, to be positioned in the right place, in the right way, in the name of Jesus. That your will be done, God, that a desperate faith would go over these people. I take authority and dominion over every spirit that would try to come against the will of God here today, and over every sickness, over every disease, over every trial, over every problem. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we love you. I speak faith in this atmosphere right now. In the name of Jesus, if you love the Lord, would you give him a big round of applause? Come on, I know you can do a little bit better than that. Would you love the Lord? Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you love them, tell them you like what they're wearing, and you can be seated after that. Shake somebody's hand. I'm not going to be long. I'm not a long-winded preacher. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to preach until you respond. So I'll be as long as you want me to be or as short as you want me to be. Is that all right? All right. I have a friend, he's a pastor in Carson City, Nevada, and he called me when he went to Bible college, same school, CLC, amen, praise the Lord. And he called me one day, and just some crazy faith, you know, an off-the-wall kind of prayer. And he said, hey, Jesse, he said, man, he said, you know what? I really want God to bring somebody back from the dead in the mortuary. Yeah, I see one sister back there, like, scratching her head, you know, like, oh, man. Anybody ever prayed that before? Yeah, me neither. I know. And so he called me and said, man, I just really believe God can do it. I got out of a good old prayer meeting. I believe God can raise the dead out of the mortuary. And so I had him on the phone. I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, number one, you're going to have to go to the mortuary in order to see that happen. It's not going to happen if you're sitting at home, right? Yeah. I said, number two, and probably more importantly, somebody has to die. Amen. I remember driving down to a service one day, and I was asking the Lord, I want to see you do something I've never seen you do. You know, we pray prayers to get to know God in a new way, right? To get to see God do something. And so I said, God, I want to see you do something I've never seen you do before, and I'd really like to see you just do something, some kind of miracle. And the Lord responded right away. Now, we know, anybody that prays any length of time, you know that God does not always respond right away. Can I get an amen? And so when he responds right away to me, that means he's in the prayer answering mood, right? And so if he's in the prayer answering mood, my suggestion to you is go big. Amen? Is that all right? So I said, well, God, and I was just out of Bible college about a month, and I said, God, I want to see you heal cancer. I want to see you take someone's cancer completely away. I've heard them preach about it, talk about it, but I'd like to pray for somebody and see that cancer get out of their body. And so the Lord didn't respond, and I just said, all right, well, we'll see what happens. I looked for people with cancer. We were on our way to a service, and nobody was there. I remember the next week, my uncle was diagnosed with cancer, and here I am praying the prayer that got him the cancer. Go think about that one. Anybody ever felt like that before? I prayed, and man, it just went downhill after that. All right, I'm not the only one. And so I remember thinking, man, now my uncle's diagnosed with cancer. And the following week, I went to preach at my father's church where my uncle congregates. And he was in the back of the church, and I remember preaching. Don't even remember what the message was about, but I was in the altar, and I remember being in the altar. And at that moment, I just kind of, you know, was walking around praying for people. And the Lord reminded me. He said, hey, now's the time. Go ahead and take the dominion over the cancer. Command the cancer in your uncle's body to leave in the name of Jesus. And I was in the altar. I remember being in the altar, walking around, and the Lord just kind of quickened me for a moment. Looked to my uncle in the back, and I said, I command the cancer. He wasn't even here at the altar. I said, I command the cancer to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of death to leave your body in Jesus' name. Within 2 to 3 days, my wife and I, we received a text, and they told us, you know what, the cancer is completely gone from his body. He walked out of the hospital completely healed. It's been over a year and a half, and he is still cancer free today. I'm trying to tell somebody in this place that God can do absolutely anything that you believe him to do. Would you give the Lord a round of applause here today? So every miracle that ever took place in the Word of God, every miracle that has ever taken place in your life, and every miracle that's going to take place in your life, it all comes from a need. Nobody can receive a miracle without having a need. Nobody can receive a miracle of their life being put back together if their life isn't in shambles. Nobody can receive a miracle of a financial blessing if they've got it all together. So I'm not preaching to the one that's got it all together. Today I'm preaching to somebody that says, God, I didn't know how it was going to work after church today. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to pay the bill or pray this prayer or pray that prayer. I didn't know what in the world was going to happen, God, but I just need a miracle here today. I'm desperate for something to happen today. And so your situation, your problem, your trial is not a problem that's unto death or something that's supposed to destroy you or take you out. It's not something that's supposed to get you down or get you walking out of the church doors and get you turning your back from God. No, no, no. That's what the enemy meant, but God meant to turn that around and use it for your good. Amen. And that's exactly what God desires. So I want to propose this thought or this idea. Your situation, your problem, the chaos in your life, however it is, the hurts and pains that you grew up with, it's not a problem anymore, but rather it's a setup for the miracle of God in your life. That situation is only a setup for God to do something. See, now you've got everything that it takes for God to do a miracle. If everything was going all right, then guess what? You won't be the person receiving a miracle today. But because it's not going all right, because you've been dealing with pain and hurt and depression and fear, guess what? God today is getting ready to do a miracle in this place. I wish somebody believe me here today. This widow woman would go and would ask and talk to the judge and please. I can imagine her going day and night, just begging and asking, would you just please answer my prayer? Would you please just change my situation? Would you make it different? And all of a sudden, finally, after a long time or however long it was, the judge finally responded, all right, fine, I'll answer. It's because you keep on asking. Anybody been praying for a while? Raise your hand for me. Raise your hand. Come on. Anybody been praying something for a while? You've been praying something for a good amount of time, and you say, you know what, God, what's going on? I need an answer. I want you to realize what the Bible says. It says right here that he will bear long with them. In other words, your situation may be for a while. Your problem may be lasting for a little bit. I know I'm talking to somebody here. Your problem may have lasted a little bit longer than you expected. Think about Lazarus. They didn't expect him to die, but guess what? Jesus said, don't worry. Though I bear long with them, I will avenge them speedily. In other words, the children of Israel were in Egypt for 400 years, but God brought them out in one day. I'm here to declare to somebody today, this is not just another word just for somebody else, just a good sermon. That's not what it's about. But I'm here to declare to somebody today that though you have dealt with this for a long time, maybe a day or a year too long than you thought you would, God is going to bring you out here today. It doesn't take him a year. It doesn't take him 2 years, just in one moment's time, in one prayer meeting here at this altar, God is getting ready to bring you out here today. Does anybody believe what I'm talking about in this place? You don't have to walk out of those doors the same way that you came in. God is getting ready to set you free here today. Getting ready to set you free here today. I believe that. I remember there was a woman not too long ago there in Maryland, as we were preaching, the power of God was moving. And I begin to tell a couple of churches every once in a while when I feel like, you know, a little crazy and I feel like the church is ready and they'll respond in faith, kind of like this church. And so I'm going to say what I said there and see how you respond. And I remember telling the lady and telling a couple people in the church, listen, if you have need of a miracle, a physical sickness or something going on in your mind or something going on emotionally, I don't want you to walk, but I tell them I want you to run on down to the service when you feel down to the altar, when you feel ready, when you feel prepared, you feel like God's moving on you, I just want you to run on down with faith and believe that by the time you get here, see, that's the step out of the boat. That's the rise, taking up the bed and saying, God, I don't got no plan B. I don't have another option, but all I've got is you. All I've got, you're my only option today. And I said, I want you to run on down to the altar. Don't walk. Don't think about it. Just run. And she literally ran down to the altar, and she put both her knees there in the altar with her hands lifted up. We begin to pray and command whatever it was. I didn't even know what was wrong with her. And we begin to pray and command sickness to leave her body. And I remember she came to me a week later. We were there for about a month. And she came to me a week later. She said, you didn't know this, but I have a incurable disease, she said. And I've had it for 4 years, she told me. And she said, I've taken over 30 different medication. And she said, and are those over 30 different medication every single day? She said, my two kids have been diagnosed. Tell me about bearing long with them, right? I've been in this Egypt situation for a long time. I've been enslaved in my mind for too long. Things have been going wrong for too long. I need God to come and step in. I need a miracle in my life. And she said, ever since that day that I responded to the word of God, after 4 years moving from California to Maryland, she said, guess what? God has completely healed me. I'm not taking any more medication since that day. And she said, you see the lump on the back of my neck? There was a lump about this big. She said, look, it's all gone. There was no more lump. God completely healed that lady's body. Would somebody give the Lord a round of applause here today? You see, and the thing is, that lady, and she told me later, she said, you know, there was another crazy preacher about 4 years ago that told me that I'd get out of this. I know, some of the preachers say some crazy stuff, right? Amen? Said, well, you know, there's another preacher that said, I would get out of this about 4 years ago. And so she had been holding on to one word for 4 years. Anybody here holding on to a word? Anybody here feel like, oh, man, I wasn't too sure if I should keep holding on or if my time was up. Maybe God just passed me by. Hey, God didn't pass you by here today. Today is your day. Today is the day. And you know what? It's no coincidence. You got this whole little sign going on here and all kind of stuff. And I felt really to preach about this desperate faith, because when you're desperate enough to do whatever it takes to get a miracle from God, then God is going to begin to respond. When you're desperate enough to say, you know what? I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of this situation. You know, this pain has been plaguing me too long in my body. Just the other day in Alaska, there's a man that had a knee-to-knee bone on bone in both of his knees. For 50 years he had pain. We prayed for him on one Friday night, and he said the pain is completely gone. I don't care if it's 50 years or 60 years. It don't matter. The pain can leave right now. And he looked at me on Sunday, and he said, guess what? The pain is still gone. That man was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus on that weekend. I'm trying to tell somebody today that if you're desperate enough, God can take care of any situation here today. You can do absolutely anything. You believe that? I believe it. Anybody believe that with me? Anybody ready for God to do something? It's getting ready to happen here today. You don't need to wait another week. You see, here's the thing about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. The woman with the issue of blood, I love this story because you know what? She had been with that issue of blood or that sickness for 12 years. For 12 years, I want you to think about that. And for 12 years, you can imagine, the Bible literally says, I won't turn there, but the Bible says that she actually bettered not, right? So she bettered not, so she was sick, basically is what it's saying, layman's terms. But then the Bible goes on to say this woman with the issue of blood, she spent all that she has, spent her time and all that good stuff and spent all her money trying to find a cure. But then the Bible says after she bettered not, it says, but rather grew worse. Think about that for a moment. Walked into the doctor's office, messed up, and walked out even worse. Thinking that she was going to go ahead and be cured, be healed, be helped, right? Walked out even worse than when she walked in. You can imagine for 12 years, the enemy having the opportunity, knowing that Jesus would come to her city one day, the enemy having the opportunity to strip away at her faith, to say, you'll never be healed. This is just something you got to live with. This is just something you got to do. This is just something that's just the way it's going to be. Every single day, people talking, gossiping about it, and talking about it. Yeah, that's just a woman with the issue of blood. It became her identity after 12 years. That sickness had taken over her life. And now all of a sudden, there's a man named Jesus that walks through the crowd, that walks through the city. And you can imagine for 12 years, the person sitting in the back of the church saying, man, well, you know what? Yeah, maybe brother so-and-so up in the front jumping all, you know, up and down, everything. He'll get a miracle today, but it's been 12 years, Pastor. It's been too long. It's not going to happen for me. Anybody? You see, I was standing here watching, and the Lord told me there's some people that are going to receive a miracle today, whether I'm preaching, whether your pastor's preaching, whether the Sunday school teacher, whoever it is preaching, they're going to receive a miracle. But there's some people here today that need that extra push. They say, you know what? I really need something from God, but I'm not too sure if I should go up or not. I'm talking to you today, because everyone else, the other people, they're going to get it anyway. I can say boo right now. They all come up to the altar. Amen? That's right. And you guys just roll like that. I've noticed. Amen. I thought we weren't going to have service a moment ago. But there's some people here that say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know. It's for him. It's for her. It's for the person next to me. And you can imagine the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says that they thronged Jesus. The people thronged Jesus. And that would mean, I'm going to use you real quick, brother. That would mean that if this is Jesus, they'd be all around him. They'd be pressing up against him. And you can imagine 20, 30, 40, maybe even 100 people pushing around Jesus to get to this miracle working man. Let me tell you something. If Jesus walked in the building right now, physical body and all, who could beat me back there? Nobody. That's right. Nobody. I'm jumping over these pews. I grew up like that, you know, jumping over the pews. Outrun anybody, you know, here in the church. Because the Holy Ghost just gets a hold of me, you know. That's what happens when you grow up in the church. You learn how to run faster in church. And you're watching Jesus walk in, and all of a sudden, Jesus walking through this city. All of a sudden, the woman is in the back, and now she's got to get through the crowd to get to Jesus. But for 12 years, the enemy has chipped away at her faith and said, it can't be done. You're going to live this way for the rest of your life. You've spent every dime you've got. You've spent every ounce of energy. You've spent every time that you've had, all of it that you've had. There's no way. And hell has talked about her. And you can even imagine the disciples saying, get away, woman. You're unclean. That resembles the people around you, maybe in the church, maybe at your job, maybe your family saying, you know what? You're not real. You're not a real Christian. You didn't really get blessed. You didn't really get touched. It's not really going to happen. But guess what? The devil is still a liar. And all you've got to do is, like that woman, say, I'm pushing through the crowd. I might not have the energy right now, but I'm going to make my way to Jesus. I'm going to do whatever it takes just to touch the hem of his garment. I'm desperate for a miracle here today. Somebody just clap your hands to the Lord for one moment longer. Somebody just worship God for one moment longer. Somebody that's desperate for a miracle from God. I'm not letting what hell put on me back then, what hell put on me a week ago or even last night, I'm not letting any of that get to me anymore. I've just got to get to Jesus. Friend of mine today, if you try Jesus, I just want you to try him and taste and see that the Lord is good here today. Taste and see that God can do absolutely anything. I was in Oregon and I watched a man. Is this all right? Everybody with me? I watched a man in the revival. I remember we were preaching about 4 days. And I got all kind of funny stories about that one. Anyway, and I remember watching there in the service. And they would carry this lame man into the church. Now, up to that point, I'd never seen a lame man in my time preaching or at all, really, except in the Bible. And I said, well, you know, there's the guy and the lame man. They would carry him from the apartment into the truck, from the truck, literally 20-something years old. They would carry him to the back of the church, and they would sit him down. And I'm thinking in my head, man, you know, all right, well, praise God. You know, if the Lord decides to do something, well, thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to get real honest with everybody. You notice I've been a little transparent, right? That's kind of how I am. So I'm just going to be real honest with everybody. You notice it was the last night of the revival, and I still had not prayed for the guy. You know, because as the evangelist or as the preacher, and I know your pastor can probably attest to what I'm saying, unless he's got a whole lot more faith than I do, then that's probably the case. But you know what? As preachers, just in general, you don't always go for the one in the wheelchair first. Can I get an amen? Yeah. You say you got to warm up. Anybody with the back pain, you bring the back pain up. Anybody with the headaches, bring the headaches up. You know what I mean? Is that all right? Come on. You guys act like you know what I'm talking about. See nobody going with their eyes open up right now. You know, you kind of work your way up. All right, the Lord is healing back pain. Here we go. Right? And I think he could do the rest. And so I'm just being transparent with everybody. So this is the last night, and I remember there in the service, and all of a sudden that young man, as he was sitting there, the power of God was moving. Now, I want everyone to get what I'm about to say next. The power of God was really moving, and it wasn't moving because everyone was. Yeah. You know what the Bible says? He was present to heal. That Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, was present to heal. And you know what happened? They brought a man from the roof. So in other words, their actions changed the atmosphere. And when their praise and their worship and their desperation changed the atmosphere, God began to do the unimaginable, the impossible. God began to do what nobody ever thought could be done before. Why? Because the people began to worship before the miracle ever took place. And I watched the assistant, this is the last night, I watched the assistant pastor's wife. Service was already over, preaching was already done. And all of a sudden, here she goes rolling on the floor. I'm not talking a, you know, nice, keep my dress together roll. No, I'm just rolling on the floor, all over. And then people got to shouting and dancing. And the people that didn't jump, they started jumping. The people that didn't dance, they started dancing. The people that didn't clap their hands, they started doing all kind of stuff and worshiping God. And I noticed the atmosphere began to shift because of the people's radical praise and worship. And they really wanted to see a miracle. That's a key. If you do that here in a moment, God will begin to do the unimaginable. God will begin to do the unthinkable here, the impossible. God will begin to do those miracles. You believe that? All right. And so I remember watching that man as he was there. And you notice I was kind of on this side of the church. And all of a sudden I walked over. And if you really pay close attention to what I was doing, I was praying for somebody else. But I happened to be close to the guy here, and so I was praying for somebody else. And to be honest, I don't know if I had much intention of praying for the lame man, right? I'd seen other miracles and people be filled with the Holy Ghost. One woman that was a heroin addict for years was completely delivered in a moment's time after she received the Holy Ghost in that revival, I remember. But all of a sudden, this guy with a whole lot of faith had muscular dystrophy in his body from his waist down. Wasn't able to walk. He was lame, and he grabbed my jacket. He kind of just tugged my coat like that. He said, hey, excuse me, in the middle of that crazy ruckus, everybody worshiping God and the assistant pastor's wife rolling on the floor. I remember he said, excuse me. He said, I want to walk, and I believe that God can do it now. Half of you are looking at me crazy. Let me tell you, this is just how it works. This is Jesus just doing Jesus, just doing what he does, just how he does it. And so I remember all of a sudden he kind of tugged on my coat, and I said, all right. I'm just get real transparent with everybody one more time, and then we'll go on. And I remember I said, all right, well, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Took a step back. Yeah, thank you. You understood. You know, in the Bible, sometimes they would pick the lame man up. You know what I mean? But then other times, Paul would just say, hey, get up and walk. So I was kind of having one of those kind of faith, you know. And so anyway, I think the guy looked at me a little amazed, a little shocked. And as he was there, and it kind of goes along with what I said earlier, how Jesus told the man, rise, take up your bed. He had to take the first step. And so the lame man just kind of looked at me, and he, okay, all right. And so he had to decide if he was really for this thing or not. And so all of a sudden, there in that church, he kind of just got his legs like that, and he just kind of picked himself up with his arms, and I remember watching him wobble and watching him. And remember, he wasn't healed yet. He wasn't just the rising, the getting up was the first part. That was the part of stepping out the boat and saying, God, I need you to meet me halfway. And all of a sudden, he began to take one step, and he began to take two steps, and they were a little wobbly, and he began to move. And all by himself, nobody was holding on to him. We began to worship, and all of a sudden, the guy, boom, he fell. And you're telling me, man, why in the world are you telling that part of the story? It sounded good up until then. And I caught him and I said, hey, I said, you know, no disrespect, but I want to ask you, do you still want to walk? Now, here's the part where most of us would have said, wait, hold on, I'm a little embarrassed. It didn't happen the way I thought it would. Anybody? I don't know if I'm that crazy with my faith. I'll try next week. That's where I probably would have said that. Preacher, just kind of, yeah, sit me down. Let me worship. Go off speaking in tongues and crying and praying, right? You know what I mean? It's going to be real with everybody. It's okay. All right. And so I remember, you know, as he was there, I looked at him. I said, do you want to walk? And he said, you know what? I do. I believe God can heal me right now in this service. And I said, all right, well, you've got the faith for it. Let's go. Let's walk. And this time I took him by the hand, and we began to walk. And a few more steps. And he fell one more time. He got back up. He was determined. You talk about desperate faith. The guy had desperate faith. And all of a sudden he looked at me. He said, wait, hold on. I feel a heat going up my legs right now. What's going on? He said, I feel a heat going up my legs right now. And all the way from the back of that church in a building about this size, he walked down that center aisle all by himself. What I'm trying to tell you today is if you've got faith that's desperate enough, God is willing to do it. God is ready to do it. God can heal your body. God can touch your mind. God can set you free here today. Somebody get desperate for what God is ready to do. Would you worship the Lord? Would you love the Lord a moment? I've been in this thing too long. I've dealt with this pain too long. I've dealt with this situation too long. I need a miracle here today. Come on, somebody. Would you worship the Lord one more time? Would you thank the Lord one more time? I'm not letting what hell's thrown at me come against me. I'm not letting any of that stuff get me from getting to Jesus. I'm going to get down to that altar, and I'm going to get something from God. I'm not walking out of this service the same. Come on. God intends for his people to live and to walk in victory. You believe that? Now, I said there's some people that are going to get a miracle, and it's just going to happen no matter who's preaching. And those are all the ones standing right now. But I'm talking to the rest of the people that say, you know what? There's another one that just stood up. Praise God. I'm talking to all the rest of the people that said, you know what? All right, this might not be my ordinary thing. This might not be what I always do. I don't believe the woman with the issue of blood would have originally went ahead and started going through the crowd, maybe on hands and knees pushing through to people. But she was at a low place in life that said, I need God, and I've got no plan B. I've got no other options. I've got nothing else to look at here except for God healing my body, except for God touching my mind. And that's who I'm talking to here today. I'm talking to somebody that says, I'm just desperate for something from God, and I'm not waiting for anything else. I'm not waiting for you to say another word. I just need something from God here today. Now, is there anybody that has a need here? I could keep on preaching. I'll tell you another story if you want me to. But if you got faith already, then we can do this. And we can do this right now. Now, if there is sickness in this place, there is sickness in your body, there's problem here, that's called desperate faith. That's what it's called, right? That's what it looks like. That's the blind man that said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I need you to heal my body. I need you to open my eyes. In the name of Jesus, I command you now, be healed, be whole, now. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Whatever you have need of, God is getting ready to do it now. You've got a sickness in your body. You've got a lost loved one that has left church. God is ready to do it now. God is ready to do it now. Yeah. If you've got a need, lift your hands. Depression's got to go. Pain has got to go. Fear has got to go. Now, in the name of Jesus. Hurt has got to leave.
Deliver. In your presence, Lord.
Yeah. It's going to happen to you right now. I rebuke every stronghold coming against your mind.
Grace.
And favor.
And right now
is the today is the day.
I've been changed.
Yeah. Somebody go ahead. Somebody pray like you haven't prayed before. Somebody pray like you haven't prayed before. Somebody cry out to the Lord like you haven't before. Pray for Jesus.
So we say,
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. For your presence today,
for you to respond.
They've been forgiven.
Forgiven. No more chains.
My past. It's over.
It's over.